Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
One. Let's face it, being a pet owner can sometimes be a bit of a chore. For example, having to let your cat in and out of your house many times a day and even at night can be annoying. However, now there's a high-tech solution to this problem. It is called Petvation. It is a pet door which is fitted with the latest technology, including facial recognition. It makes sure that only your pet comes into your house. Cameras installed on either side of the door scan and identify your pet. The device is fitted at your home by a specialist who also calibrates it to recognize your pet. Once that's done, your pet can freely leave and enter your house at any time. If you have more than one pet, don't worry. The door can recognize up to 5 different pets. I had it installed 3 weeks ago, and now I can't imagine my life without it.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Let's face it, being a pet owner can sometimes be a bit of a chore. For example, having to let your cat in and out of your house many times a day and even at night can be annoying. However, now there's a high-tech solution to this problem. It is called Petvation. It is a pet door which is fitted with the latest technology, including facial recognition. It makes sure that only your pet comes into your house. Cameras installed on either side of the door scan and identify your pet. The device is fitted at your home by a specialist who also calibrates it to recognize your pet. Once that's done, your pet can freely leave and enter your house at any time. If you have more than one pet, don't worry, the door can recognize up to 5 different pets. I had it installed 3 weeks ago, and now I can't imagine my life without it.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Two. Thanks, Mia. I'm so glad you persuaded me to try pickleball.
I told you, John, this game's so much fun.
I'm astonished that we're actually playing a proper game, even though we've been practicing for no more than 45 minutes. To be honest, I'd expected pickleball to be like tennis. I've had hours of tennis lessons, and I have never got to this stage.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And what I like about pickleball is the small court size. This allows for a fast-paced game.
But the name sounds crazy. No self-respecting kid is going to dream of one day becoming a famous pickleballer. I wonder how pickleball got its name.
I've heard the inventor named the game after his dog, Pickles, who enjoyed fetching balls.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Thanks, Mia. I'm so glad you persuaded me to try pickleball.
I told you, John, this game's so much fun.
I'm astonished that we're actually playing a proper game, even though we've been practicing for no more than 45 minutes. To be honest, I'd expected pickleball to be like tennis. I've had hours of tennis lessons, and I have never got to this stage.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And what I like about pickleball is the small court size. This allows for a fast-paced game.
But the name sounds crazy. No self-respecting kid is going to dream of one day becoming a famous pickleballer. I wonder how pickleball got its name.
I've heard the inventor named the game after his dog, Pickles, who enjoyed fetching balls.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu trzeciego.
Three.
Our guest today, Jonathan Benskin, is a high school biology teacher in Florida. He has just completed a research project he organized for his class. Jonathan, how did it all begin?
The objective of the project was to conduct a soil study, which involved examining the structure of soil samples obtained in the Everglades National Park. I reached out to many researchers to get their support for this project, but unfortunately, I was turned down. They claimed the topic would be a challenge to experienced scientists, and so it was too difficult for high school students. Luckily, my email reached a researcher from a scientific program at the US Department of Energy. She was keen to help because she herself had been inspired by her biology teacher to get into science.
Why the Everglades? And what were some of the biggest challenges?
I chose the Everglades because a lot is unknown about the diversity of organisms living there. The students had to come up with a procedure for soil extraction and acquire the necessary permits, all of which turned out to be rather time-consuming. One of the biggest challenges of the project was the lack of roads through the remote part of the Everglades that we selected. The students used images from Google Maps to determine the optimal routes to take. But when we were actually moving across the region in canoes, we realized a lot of changes had occurred there since the images were taken. As a result, we had to alter our routes on the way.
What assistance did the students receive from the researcher at the US Department of Energy?
She provided seminars and web conferences, as the students wouldn't have managed most tasks without guidance. But they had to deal with some issues by themselves, most importantly, obtaining the necessary soil samples. After that, the researcher explained how to analyze DNA extracted from the soil and supervised the students as they examined and compared their data with huge DNA databases. She also guided them through the process of writing an article, which later on appeared in a scientific journal.
And the last question, how do you feel about this adventure?
It was a great joy to see what these students accomplished and how this partnership developed in such a short time. I feel the project is a great model for how the next generation of scientists can be trained. It may need improvement, but the approach deserves recognition. My students now have a deeper understanding of the research process. I hope some of them will consider pursuing a career in science in the future.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Our guest today, Jonathan Benskin, is a high school biology teacher in Florida. He has just completed a research project he organized for his class. Jonathan, how did it all begin?
The objective of the project was to conduct a soil study which involved examining the structure of soil samples obtained in the Everglades National Park. I reached out to many researchers to get their support for this project, but unfortunately I was turned down. They claimed the topic would be a challenge to experienced scientists, and so it was too difficult for high school students. Luckily, my email reached a researcher from a scientific program at the US Department of Energy. She was keen to help because she herself had been inspired by her biology teacher to get into science.
Why the Everglades? And what were some of the biggest challenges?
I chose the Everglades because a lot is unknown about the diversity of organisms living there. The students had to come up with a procedure for soil extraction and acquire the necessary permits, all of which turned out to be rather time-consuming. One of the biggest challenges of the project was the lack of roads through the remote part of the Everglades that we selected. The students used images from Google Maps to determine the optimal routes to take. But when we were actually moving across the region in canoes, we realized a lot of changes had occurred there since the images were taken. As a result, we had to alter our routes on the way.
What assistance did the students receive from the researcher at the US Department of Energy?
She provided seminars and web conferences, as the students wouldn't have managed most tasks without guidance. But they had to deal with some issues by themselves, most importantly, obtaining the necessary soil samples. After that, the researcher explained how to analyze DNA extracted from the soil and supervised the students as they examined and compared their data with huge DNA databases. She also guided them through the process of writing an article, which later on appeared in a scientific journal.
And the last question, how do you feel about this adventure?
It was a great joy to see what these students accomplished and how this partnership developed in such a short time. I feel the project is a great model for how the next generation of scientists can be trained. It may need improvement, but the approach deserves recognition. My students now have a deeper understanding of the research process. I hope some of them will consider pursuing a career in science in the future.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
My childhood was free of worries and anxieties. Everything was given to me on a silver platter, and I wish I had appreciated it at the time. Now, as an adult, I think about all the children who aren't as lucky as I was. I tremble at the thought that there are many regions on our planet where children do not have easy access to basic necessities such as water and food because of the effects of climate change. Sometimes I get angry and frustrated because I'm so powerless.
Two. Imagine you go outside and look up into the sky and there's a comet there. And you've just been told by scientists that the comet is racing toward the Earth and it threatens us all. And nobody else notices the comet. And you scream, "Hey, look, there's a comet coming our way, and it's dangerous." And people just don't seem to care. It's the same with climate change. Three.
Our planet is precious, and only we can save it. That's why we can't ignore the obvious facts. We need to know what is happening, but we also need to try to do something about it. We don't have the time anymore to sit and think, why is it happening? Because that doesn't help us. It's high time people ask themselves a more productive question: what can I do about it now? And actually start doing it. Even simple things such as recycling waste or turning off the taps when we brush our teeth can make a difference. If you know you are doing your part to tackle the climate crisis, you will also be able to sleep better at night.
4. We need to understand how we as humans impact the planet. We are already seeing the flooding of coastal cities, forest fires, and tornadoes. We need to realize that what is happening in other parts of the world is going to happen here, sooner or later. I believe many people are aware of climate change and fear its consequences, but are still reluctant to take any action. I think it's extremely irresponsible that they refuse to take even the simplest steps, like using public transport or saving electricity. How can they be so ignorant? 5.
I was born into climate change. I have such vivid memories of doing my homework by candlelight as typhoons raged outside. I grew up being afraid of waking up to a flooded room without electricity. Some people think it won't happen to them in the place where they live, but they're wrong, because today no part of the world is free from climate change. Try to imagine how you would feel when suddenly all your personal belongings, family albums, valuables, or even your home vanished. The problem is that we often don't realize how closely our existence is linked to the natural world until we have learned it firsthand.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
My childhood was free of worries and anxieties. Everything was given to me on a silver platter, and I wish I had appreciated it at the time. Now, as an adult, I think about all the children who aren't as lucky as I was. I tremble at the thought that there are many regions on our planet where children do not have easy access to basic necessities such as water and food because of the effects of climate change. Sometimes I get angry and frustrated because I'm so powerless.
2. Imagine you go outside and look up into the sky and there's a comet there. And you've just been told by scientists that the comet is racing toward the Earth and it threatens us all. And nobody else notices the comet. And you scream, "Hey, look, there's a comet coming our way and it's dangerous." And people just don't seem to care. It's the same with climate change. 3.
Our planet is precious, and only we can save it. That's why we can't ignore the obvious facts. We need to know what is happening, but we also need to try to do something about it. We don't have the time anymore to sit and think, why is it happening? Because that doesn't help us. It's high time people ask themselves a more productive question. What can I do about it now? And actually start doing it. Even simple things such as recycling waste or turning off the taps when we brush our teeth can make a difference. If you know you are doing your part to tackle the climate crisis, you will also be able to sleep better at night.
Four. We need to understand how we as humans impact the planet. We are already seeing the flooding of coastal cities, forest fires, and tornadoes. We need to realize that what is happening in other parts of the world is going to happen here, sooner or later. I believe many people are aware of climate change and fear its consequences, but are still reluctant to take any action. I think it's extremely irresponsible that they refuse to take even the simplest steps like using public transport or saving electricity. How can they be so ignorant? Five.
I was born into climate change. I have such vivid memories of doing my homework by candlelight as typhoons raged outside. I grew up being afraid of waking up to a flooded room without electricity. Some people think it won't happen to them in the place where they live, but they're wrong, because today no part of the world is free from climate change. Try to imagine how you would feel when suddenly all your personal belongings, family albums, valuables, or even your home vanished. The problem is that we often don't realize how closely our existence is linked to the natural world until we have learned it firsthand.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
On a film set, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Michael, as a film reviewer, you've probably heard of one or two interesting film mishaps.
Yes, indeed. A particularly memorable one took place during the filming of Quentin Tarantino's 2015 thriller, The Hateful Eight. In one scene, Jennifer Jason Leigh plays a vintage guitar from the 19th century, which had been borrowed from the Martin Guitar Museum in Pennsylvania. After she'd finished playing, Jennifer's co-star was supposed to pick up the guitar and smash it against the wall, shouting, "Music time is over." For this act of destruction, the valuable vintage instrument was meant to be replaced by a replica prop. However, Jennifer's co-star had not read the instructions for the scene carefully enough, and he picked up and destroyed the original, not the replica. As a result, the museum, which called the guitar a priceless, irreplaceable artifact, announced that they would never again loan guitars out for movies. Of course, they demanded and received a significant sum in compensation.
Do all mishaps on set lead to the costs of the production increasing?
Well, generally, yes, but some are more costly than others. An example of an extremely expensive mishap is when Tom Cruise broke his ankle while doing his own stunt during the filming of the sixth Mission Impossible film. Cruise made a fast rooftop jump from one building to another but while landing, his foot slammed into the side of the wall. He knew instantly his ankle was broken, but he really didn't want to do the scene again, so he just got up and carried on. However, that accident led to a 10-month delay in filming, which must have been very expensive indeed.
Have you heard of any humorous incidents on set?
Yes, quite a few. For example, while working on her Oscar-winning film Judy, Renee Zellweger had an awkward situation while filming a kissing scene. When she and her co-star Finn Wittrock locked lips, Zellweger's fake nose broke and some glue went onto Wittrock's face. But despite this, the director didn't call for the filming to stop, so the actors carried on as though nothing had happened, even though the crew was giggling.
Some on-set situations can be really dangerous, can't they?
Definitely. Let me tell you about the nerve-wracking situation experienced by cast members who were terrified when real hammerhead sharks started circling them in the sea while they were shooting a scene for Steven Spielberg's movie Jaws. The trouble was that their screams were ignored by the film crew, who didn't think the actors were in real danger. That was because, according to the script, they were supposed to be yelling for help at that point. Luckily, no one was hurt.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
On a film set, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Michael, as a film reviewer, you've probably heard of one or two interesting film mishaps.
Yes, indeed. A particularly memorable one took place during the filming of Quentin Tarantino's 2015 thriller The Hateful Eight. In one scene, Jennifer Jason Leigh plays a vintage guitar from the 19th century, which had been borrowed from the Martin Guitar Museum in Pennsylvania. After she'd finished playing, Jennifer's co-star was supposed to pick up the guitar and smash it against the wall, shouting, "Music time is over." For this act of destruction, the valuable vintage instrument was meant to be replaced by a replica prop. However, Jennifer's co-star had not read the instructions for the scene carefully enough, and he picked up and destroyed the original, not the replica. As a result, the museum, which called the guitar a priceless, irreplaceable artifact, announced that they would never again loan guitars out for movies. Of course, they demanded and received a significant sum in compensation.
Do all mishaps on set lead to the costs of the production increasing?
Well, generally, yes, but some are more costly than others. An example of an extremely expensive mishap is when Tom Cruise broke his ankle while doing his own stunt during the filming of the sixth Mission Impossible film. Cruise made a fast rooftop jump from one building to another, but while landing, his foot slammed into the side of the wall. He knew instantly his ankle was broken, but he really didn't want to do the scene again, so he just got up and carried on. However, that accident led to a 10-month delay in filming, which must have been very expensive indeed.
Have you heard of any humorous incidents on set?
Yes, quite a few. For example, while working on her Oscar-winning film Judy, Renee Zellweger had an awkward situation while filming a kissing scene. When she and her co-star Finn Wittrock locked lips, Zellweger's fake nose broke and some glue went onto Whitrock's face. But despite this, the director didn't call for the filming to stop, so the actors carried on as though nothing had happened, even though the crew was giggling.
Some on-set situations can be really dangerous, can't they?
Definitely. Let me tell you about the nerve-wracking situation experienced by cast members who were terrified when real hammerhead sharks started circling them in the sea while they were shooting a scene for Steven Spielberg's movie Jaws. The trouble was that their screams were ignored by the film crew, who didn't think the actors were in real danger. That was because, according to the script, they were supposed to be yelling for help at that point. Luckily, no one was hurt.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.